The Dental Practice Fixers podcast is brought to you by the Maddow Center for Dental Practice Success. To find out how we can help increase the success of your practice, check out maddow.com or call us at 1-800-258-0060.
You have a fantastic associate. You're even considering bringing him in as a partner, but there could be a slight problem. Hey there, I'm Dr. David Maddow. Welcome to the Dental Practice Fixers. I'm here along with my brother,
Dr. Richard Maddow. Great to talk to everybody today on the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. You know, Dave, it seems like these questions are getting more and more personal, more and more intense. Just there are definitely some situations in dental practices all across the world.
Are we developing some kind of reputation as dental practice fixers that help people with really, really, really strange problems?
I don't know. I hope so.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Okay. Well, let's get to this question. It says, hey, guys, did you notice that people start the questions with like different things? Like sometimes, yo, brothers, hey, guys, dental fixers. Right. They're from Philadelphia. That's what they say. Hey, guys. I have a potentially very serious problem in my practice. My associate dentist is fantastic. Great clinician, really good with the patients, big producer. He is under serious consideration for partnership. He's also very good looking. All right. but there's a reason, right? Here's the thing. I am pretty sure he is having an affair with one of our hygienists, who is also a great asset to the practice. While I haven't caught them in the act, there are plenty of signs, the details of which I'm not going to get into. Probably a good move. I've heard the staff talk about this too. Oh, and to top it off, she is married. Married! I'm not about to make any moral judgments, but obviously this could be destructive for both them and the practice. But keep in mind, I don't have any actual proof. What should I do, fixers? Name and location withheld for obvious reasons.
Oh my God. I mean,
I have a feeling about a thousand listeners to the podcast just shuddered when they heard this, right?
I mean, are we dentists or social workers now?
I think maybe it's funny you said that, because as we've always said, you can't just be a dentist. You need to be a dentist. You need to be a business manager. You need to be an accountant. You need to be a psychologist. You know, you need. One more thing. You're right. Social workers.
There are everything's connected. Everything is connected.
Yeah. I would love to know what the what's making them suspicious. But it sounds like if you were to bet, this is going on. And look, let's face it. We know it's a somewhat common scenario in dental practices, like it or not. It's the way it is.
Yeah. So if it's so common, I said, what's the problem, Ossifer? A big problem.
Well, okay. That's one way. That's one good question. Should this person just ignore it? I think it could lead to some really bad things, obviously, professionally and personally. These things usually don't have good endings. Let's face it.
So when you say should this person, you mean the owner doctor?
The owner, person that wrote in, right.
Oh, the person that just wrote in. So who is it sounds like the owner of the practice.
Yeah. The onus is on them.
Well, yeah, these things generally don't have good endings. I would say if this hygienist happened to be single, it probably would be a little bit of a different story. But she's married. Well, she's married, and you're talking about potentially ripping apart families, which is going to then go into the practice. It could be a tremendous mess. Let's face it. If she were single and they became a couple, it might not be the worst thing in the world.
Right. Maybe not, you know.
Then it wouldn't really be called an affair. It would be called just dating. They'd be dating, right.
Right. And true. So you're saying it makes it worse because she has chosen to do something that by most people's standards would be immoral, unethical, by just about everybody's standards. Yet we don't know what's going on in their marriage. I mean, it gets all kind of intertwinements, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
How about the fact that this is a dentist and he is, presumably or allegedly involved with a team member? So that's bad too. That could lead to all kind of lawsuits, right? Look, you know, if this thing ends badly, the hygienist could go to a lawyer and say, this guy was forcing himself upon me and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
that could end horribly too.
It could get into sexual harassment, all kinds of
right, exactly.
really,
that's
really,
the phrase
really
I was looking
things.
For.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, what do they call it? There's what they call the office. It's a, that when you're dealing with sexual harassment issues, it's a, there's a word for that in the, I can't remember what it is.
Oh, I can't remember the phrase. It's a legal phrase. It means like there's a atmosphere of whatever in the office.
Yeah, I just have a mental block. I just can't think of what it is right now.
Do you remember when Brother Marshall, for those of you who don't know, our Brother Marshall's a dentist as well, took a job as an associate. The first piece of advice the owner dentist gave him.
Yeah, I do remember. In his southern accent, it says something like, Marshall, don't put your Peter in the paycheck, or something in the payroll,
don't,
or something
don't
like
put
that.
Your, I mean, it's time-tested good advice, isn't it?
It's very good advice. Yeah. It really is. I mean, usually these things, like you said, like don't have good endings. Okay, so what's our advice then?
Right, I mean, should the owner dentist wait until they get caught in the act? Should he pull the associate aside and say, hey, look, it seems like you're involved with whatever. Let's just call her Christy for now. It seems like you're involved with Christy, who's our fantastic hygienist, and we know she's married. And then where do you go from that? Say it's not a good idea for so many reasons?
Yeah, however, romance, human nature, things like that generally tend to override. Like if they're truly having something, if they've got something going on and they're really in love, no matter what,
or they're really in lust.
Right. No matter, right, exactly. No matter what, he's probably not just going to say, oh, okay, fine, I'll forget about it. It's not that easy. It's a really tough situation.
Unless like the embarrassment of being caught, and then also maybe, I guess you can't come out and say it, but just say that, you know, look, I really have big things in mind for you. I think you could become a partner one day, but, you know, this might not be good behavior. It could kind of like a covert threat there that if you don't stop this, you're not going to become a partner.
Yeah, but the problem is they're still working together every day. He's going in and doing exams in her room. I mean, exams on patients.
I'll bet he is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's easier said than done. I mean, if they truly have something going on, you know, you can tell him all day long not to see her, but it's probably not going to work.
Right. So. I guess what we're saying maybe is, look, you're making a judgment. Yes, this is, you know, most people would say this is immoral, unethical, bad, all those things for so many reasons. Yet it's not illegal, right?
It's not illegal, but an attorney could get a hold of this and say it is sexual harassment, which is illegal, I believe. And this guy,
well, certainly civilly anyway. It's a civil lawsuit. Yeah. So could that be the approach? Look, you're going to get sued for sexual harassment. You know, if you have to give her a bad performance review, or we have to fire her or whatever, you're going to get sued for sexual harassment. And guess who's going to be responsible? Me too, as the practice owner. This has got to stop. Could you be that blunt about it?
Yeah, I mean, you could be that blunt about it. Maybe you should be that blunt about it. But again, I don't know whether the result is going to be the one that you want.
Or even if there's not a sexual harassment thing, let's face it. This dentist as an associate and certainly as a partner is the boss of this hygienist. So now she's kind of got something on him and maybe can get away with murder in the office knowing that he's got her back in a way and her front, it seems like.
I mean, look, another approach, and I'm not
saying so many things going on here.
I'm not saying this is a good approach, but one approach is the doctor could say to the associate, hey, look, we know what's going on. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Keep it outside the office. And when you're in the office, I don't want anything, any hint of anything. But that's also, it's kind of putting a Band-Aid on the whole situation. It's masking the whole thing. It's not, you know, I'll tell you something. Here's my feeling. I don't think there's any good outcome.
I agree. And like you said, it seems, you know, let's face it. They're not just going to say, okay, this is bad. We're going to stop, but we're going to keep working together as friends. Let's just be friends. Probably not going to happen.
I mean, she's cute. She's okay. I'm just going to be friends with her.
Too many inside jokes. But that's probably not going to happen. So what do? You can't fire anyone.
Well, you can.
On what grounds?
I mean, the doctor could, the owner doctor could say to the associate, as good as he is and as handsome as he is, he'd say, look, this is not going to work long term. I'm going to start looking for another associate. But that,
right. You know, go do your banging in someone else's office.
I mean, it's a situation there that you might have to just play out and see what happens and try to do the right things. Like try to say to the associate, look, you're looking for, you're playing with fire. There's going to be big trouble here. You got to stop this. And then let the chips fall where they may. I mean, I don't know.
And the associate could say, doc, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. We're good friends. We have a lot of laughs together. That's all.
If he were really smart, that's probably what he would say. No, seriously.
So you're never going to get to the bottom of it. I feel bad because I think this is, you know, even though we've kind of been maybe joking around a little bit, it's a very serious issue. It's a really serious question. And I'm not so sure that we've given a fantastic solution yet, which may lead to the conclusion that there really is no fantastic
There may not be. Well, I'll tell you here. Okay. Here's a real life situation. And I've told you about this one. It's when I first got into dentistry after my residency, I worked for that like dental center type place. And there was a situation it's not exactly the same, but it was the owner dentist. The owner was clearly, I mean, we never caught them in the act, but clearly having an affair with his assistant. Now he was married. She was single. But they would go off to lunch, out to lunch each day, and they would stay out.
Come back, his pants will be on backwards.
Well, kind of close. I mean, they go out for like a 90-minute lunch, and after they got back from lunch, they both carry like to go. They carry bags from McDonald's that they never even ate yet. So
Well, Dave, when we're in the office together, we go for a 90-minute lunch.
No, but we don't come back with like bags from McDonald's that we haven't eaten even gotten.
But we wouldn't go to McDonald's for
exactly. But you know what I mean.
So how did that end? You know what happened there?
Yeah, so I think it just this is my point. I think it just ran its course, and ultimately everything ended up okay. The guy stayed married. His marriage was okay. They just kind of drifted apart, and I think stayed kind of friends. But nothing ever happened. There was not a divorce involved. They didn't run off together. But that doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen like that.
Right. I mean, look, the ideal situation for this office, well, the hygienist sounds like a great hygienist, but if she left and they were able to replace her with an equally good hygienist who wasn't interested in the associate, that would probably be a good scenario, but that's not going to happen. You can't fire her, right? For this, you know, that's very convoluted.
Is it better to, like, you made a point to say, or whoever wrote the letter, I mean, made a point to say he's also very good looking. Would it be better to hire like a pretty ugly associate? Ugly, overweight, bad breath.
Well, bad breath, probably not.
But just like a slop, like a Dr. Cohen, like that type of guy, you know, just looks.
You
looks
don't, but you don't want someone like that working in your office.
No, that's true. You don't.
Oh my God, it's the last thing you want.
So it would be better to have like that young, good-looking stud and take the chance that he might have an affair with it. Look, he might be having an affair with patients as well. Who knows?
Wow. Now that's where you got to draw the line.
That's not a good thing.
No, but you brought this, and I think we better move on soon, but yeah, not to belabor the point, but the guy is single. So
he's single.
Right.
He's single. He's young. His hormones are probably raging, you know, so he's going to be having affairs with everybody.
I hope not. It would be better if she weren't married.
Much better. Much
Doc,
better.
Good luck. I hope this just talking this out was helpful to you in some way, even though maybe we didn't have a definitive solution other than you're going to have to keep an eye on this and see how it plays out. I don't think there's anything wrong with talking to the associate dentist, though. I mean, look,
yeah.
What would be wrong with that? Call me. Hey, look, confidentially, you know, look. Everybody, we know what's going on here. It's not good for the practice. It's not good for her, certainly not good for her marriage. And my advice would be to curtail it. And then, as you said, let the chips fall as they may.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Exactly,
what do you mean?
I know exactly what I'm talking
about. Okay, you got me. You got me. You got guilty.
He probably won't deny it. He'll probably just shake his head.
Duly noted.
Duly noted.
Let's get on to the call.
We've got a crazy, crazy call for you today. But before we get there, real quick, Dave and I both have one little note we want to talk about, speaking of duly noted. You listeners out there heard of Dr. Pei Ray? He is a young, up-and-coming, amazing dentist. He's an incredibly talented clinician. You should follow him on Instagram. His work is unbelievable. And he worked in corporate dentistry for a while. That didn't float his boat. He knew he had to do his own thing. So he started a practice from scratch in Nashville, not with the goal of being the top cosmetic dentist in town and making a fortune, but with the goal of truly helping people do what's best for them. In about a year, he's got a $2 million practice. He's an amazing guy, young, good looking. Oh, hold on. This isn't him, is it? No, he's the owner, doctor. Very likable. And he will be at TBSE this year telling his whole story and showing every dentist and team member out there how they can expand and grow their practice just through doing the right thing for your patients. He's just one of many incredible speakers on the TBSE lineup. This year, we're kind of focusing on real life, real world dentists who have achieved amazing success. Not people who have been on the lecture circuit for 30 years saying the same thing, but real life, these people you may have not heard of before, not seen before, and that's the whole idea. So it's enough said, go to the website, TBSE.com. It stands for The Best Seminar Ever. It's in Vegas in November. It's the most amazing two-day seminar you could ever attend, and we really, really, really would love to see you there. So check it out, TBSE.com. Rest of the lineup, information on the hotel, and all that other great stuff.
And you can hang out with us, the Dental Practice Fixers. We will be there. We'll be there hanging out.
A discount. You can still get a discount if you register now.
Yes. Good stuff. Good stuff, Rich.
All right.
Before we get to the call, one more real quick thing.
Please.
We started this little thing about 1 to 2 years ago. Yeah, a year and a half, 2 years ago, called the masterclass for dentists. And I'd say, Rich, I think you're going to probably agree, it's one of the coolest things we've ever done over our 30 years of helping dentists, because what we do is for one full day, me, Rich and I sit down in a room with our coaches, with our team, and we sit down with about 8 to 12 dentists. And for the entire day, we just talk about their struggles, what's going on in their practice, why they can't get to the level they want to get to. And we help them. We share with them all kinds of advice and kind of little tips and tricks how to get to where you want to be, along with explaining to them how we can help them get to where they want to be, get to the level they have not been able to get to on their own. It's a great day. It's totally a relaxed day. There's no pressure. We just sit around with like-minded people and really help out. How do you get to a masterclass? Well, first of all, I will tell you the masterclass are free. We don't charge, but you have to be a dentist. You have to be a dentist who really wants to improve your practice. You can't be a chiropractor. Well, maybe.
We had a dental student sign up for the upcoming masterclass.
I just heard about that, right.
Yeah, he had to be told that it wasn't really right for him.
Yeah, because you've got to be a dentist that has a practice that really is able to, you know, make some changes. So anyway, how do you find out about the upcoming masterclass? Well, simply go to masterclass.matto.com. It's that easy. And if you're watching the video, it's right down there, masterclass.matto.com. We do them roughly every 2 months or so at our Matto Center for Dental Practice Success right in Baltimore, Maryland. So we'd love to have you join us. Check it out, masterclass.matto.com.
All right, let's do our call of the week. We think you're going to love this one.
Let's do it.
Thank you for calling. Please be advised that all calls may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance. Good afternoon. Thank you for calling. This is Jesslyn. How may I help you?
Hey, I've got a question for you. I noticed that sometimes if I like open my mouth or chew, it makes a little clicking or popping noise. Is that normal, you think?
Know what happens? Do you have like pain when you hear it or anything?
No, it's not pain. It's kind of like that. Sometimes it's like,
ching. Do you think it is pretty normal? I know my stepdad does a lot of noises.
Your stepdad makes a lot of noises?
Do you want to, like, just get it? Yeah, like...
What are his noises?
Be really quiet and all you hear is him.
What do his noises sound like?
But I think it's just the way he chews. I can't even mimic it, like, no matter how hard I would try.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mine's kind of like a... but sometimes it's louder than others. Sometimes it's more like a Yeah. All right, so you think it's pretty normal? Well, go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, if you did want to, if you did want to come in, we do have like free consultation, or we could just you could sit down with the doctor and just talk to her, and then she could also see what she tells you.
Oh, great! But like, would it help if I just put my like my jaw up to the phone so she could hear like when it goes like that?
Yeah. Yeah. The doctor right now is busy.
Okay.
Let me see. But I mean, I think, I mean, it's just my opinion, you know. If there's no pain, I wouldn't really. But if you are concerned about it,
there's
come in.
There's no pain at all, not at all. All right, so I'm not going to worry then. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
No problem. I hope you have a great one.
Great, you too. Thanks. Bye. I was really trying. I was really hoping she would imitate her stepdad's popping there, but she didn't. She didn't go. She said she couldn't do it.
Well, see, that would have been the funniest thing ever. If you maybe took it a step further, say, no, I've got a couple seconds. Just put the phone right up to your jaw. And let me hear what his sounds like.
But he wasn't there.
I know. But she would have had. That's what I mean. She would have had to imitate it. Hilarious. I'm surprised, because I'll tell you, if I had been the one doing that call, when she answered the phone, I swear I could not understand anything she said. I would have said, what? I mean,
That may have been in the recording, because I don't remember that being an issue.
Okay.
But back to that beginning, you know, it's funny. I know that when I do a secret shopper call, or even like I know when our coaches call practice or whatever, when the whole thing starts with, this call may be recorded for quality control purposes, I always think, wow, this person's going to be on their toes, because the call's being recorded and their doctor might listen to it, and this person's really going to be sharp. But it just doesn't turn out to be the case always.
But also, yeah, I know what you're saying, but it seemed to be, and I don't like this at all, there were like a lot of hoops you had to jump through to actually get to her. There just like, there was that message, then I think there was something else. I don't know if you had to press a number one, but it just seemed like it was, God, why can't just a regular human being answer the phone immediately and say, thank you for calling, blah, 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 I can help you.
I agree 100%. You feel like you're calling some kind of cold
corporate
where you're, right, where you're a number, you're not, I totally agree. But I did expect her to be better than that. I mean, she did some. I thought it was funny when I asked her if I could put it up to the phone and have the doctor listen to it. She was like, she's busy right now. Meanwhile, she's giving clinical advice. Somebody who could have a serious. I mean, this is somebody whose jaw is going. And she's telling them, if there's no pain, they don't need to come in. Oh my God. Unbelievable.
Where did she, I think she had no idea what was going on, and she was just totally flying by the seat of her pants. Is there any pain?
Right. She never should have gone there. Why is there any pain? She did mention that the office gives free consults, and she should have gotten me in for a free consult immediately and made that the entire focus of the call. You know, I'm not sure where that is, but you should definitely come in and have the doctor look, listen, whatever.
I'll tell you, Rich, I'm a little bit concerned, because I mean, if you just had like a little simple popping, it would be okay. But the fact that your jaw is going shwing, shwing, I mean, I'm a little concerned about that.
It's going
shwing, shwing.
It's definitely an issue. I'm sorry, young lady, but we're going to have to give you a less than passing grade.
Yeah, I'm giving her a full F, total full F, for many reasons. Many reasons. Even if, okay, she should not have been giving clinical advice, but even let's get past that. She did not ask you for the actual appointment. No true call to action.
Yeah, I mean, she kind of started to go there.
She didn't go there.
And said, well, if there's no pain, you shouldn't have to worry about it. Holy moly. Everybody knows, anybody that works in the dental practice should know that dental disease does not always present as pain. I mean, I wonder, what if you caught up and said, my gums are bleeding, but there's no pain. You know, it's ridiculous.
I have horrible, horrible breath, but there's no pain. Okay, no, you're fine.
Pain.
You're fine.
No pain at all. I look at my tooth and see this big hole in it, but there's no pain.
No pain.
No gain. All right.
What
can you say except that we are so thankful that you are listening and watching the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. Tell your friends, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. do whatever it takes. We really, really appreciate you. So thanks for being here, Dr. Richard Maddow.
Dr. David Maddow, and we will see you next time.